Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Good to go.
All right. Let's see if I got everything ready here.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, it's 323-870-3857. And we're coming to you live here at 10 a.m., so it's early. I get it, man, but you'll be able to watch it later on, too. And if anybody in England's out there watching, you can give us a shout-out, and we'll go from there, man. Today, we are going to talk about Anthony Joshua versus Alexander Usyk. Beeb, this thing sold out in 24 hours.
Yep.
That's insane, man. I guess we know who the money man of the division is. No question about that.
Well, it's those UK fans, man. Like I said before, they're the best boxing fans in the world, and they stand behind their fighters. They really do.
They do. They really do. I'll tell you what, man. We'll talk a little Olympic boxing. But first, we're going to get started with DAZN, the card there. Kid Galahad versus Jazza Dickens. Kid Galahad wins by a TKO at the end of the 11th round to win the IBF featherweight title. You know, Galahad, I was shocked, man, at his performance last night. I really was. Because if you guys saw that weigh-in, he did not look good. He looked bad at that weigh-in. Yeah. He looked sick at the weigh-in. He looked very drawn. He looked very gaunt. You know, that being said, when he went in there, he looked great last night. I would have liked to seen Jazza, you know, maybe try to go to the body a little bit more, try to slow this guy down. You guys know Galahad's a slick boxer, man, so try to slow him down a little bit. At the end of the day, man, Galahad was just too active, and he was aggressive, and I'm not used to, you know, he was really, I thought he was, you know, really aggressive last night, and he wanted this fight. You know, I think he wanted to take it out of the judge's hands after what happened last time. As far as I'm concerned, he's 2-0 in title fights. You know, he was using a lot of veteran tricks. He was stepping on the foot. I think he got a point deducted for stepping on the foot, I guess, in the sixth round. I believe it was in the sixth round he got a point deducted for stepping on the guy's foot on Dickens' foot.
I think it was from a low blow, actually.
Was it a low blow?
Yeah. That ref was overly officious towards him. I don't know why.
I don't get that.
For whatever reason, every time this guy fights, there's always something that goes on with him. It's like, I don't know. He just doesn't get the benefit of the doubt from judges and from officials, you know, every time this guy fights.
Well,
I thought the ref was really on his case.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it's going to happen when you have southpaws and orthodox going at each other. You know it's going to happen. So
yeah.
It didn't look intentional to me. So just the implication that it was intentional was a little bit bizarre to me. I don't think he was doing it. You can tell when someone does it on purpose.
Right.
You can tell when someone does it on purpose.
Yeah, you're going to have that. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have that. He's going to step, you know. I think that Galahad, but I do think that Galahad was kind of using it to his advantage. You know, he also, like, would spin him around. You know, the head control, but that's all part of boxing. You know, that's all veteran tricks, but that's all part of boxing, man. Dickens had no answer for that jab. You know, he just had nothing. And I think Dickens did the best he could. He really did. Galahad was just better. And I think Galahad was so aggressive because he had that, I would have loved to see the judges' scorecards after the fight. I didn't get a chance to see him or anything like that. I wonder how close they had this fight, or if they had it wide for Galahad, which they should have. You know, I would have been real curious to see that.
Galahad, I'm going to make a very bold statement. He is one of, if not the most intelligent fighters I've ever seen. This guy has such a large bag of tricks. The thing about him is Every time you move, it's like he sticks to you. So if you pivot out, he pivots with you, and he's constantly facing you. So you could never create an angle on this guy because he'll cut you off at the pass. And a lot of that is just him having the ability to process and anticipate things and just knowing what his opponent is going to do before they do it. He really has a knack for being able to read guys. And when you got a guy who can switch so fluently and he does it so frequently throughout the course of a fight, he'll do it mid-combination. He'll start a combination in the orthodox stance and then finish it in the southpaw stance. And then you're trying to gauge this guy's jab. Can't, because it's coming at you from the orthodox and the southpaw stance. So this guy constantly leaves you guessing. And once again, as you said, he's a very busy fighter. So it was a shame what happened in the Warrington fight, because that was I thought that was a masterful performance. Some people criticize that, but he showed so many different looks in that fight. Like, he's like a chameleon in there. He'll start the fight laying back, and then on the turn of a dime, he'll go aggressive. But he's constantly fighting within himself. He doesn't really go crazy in there. He's a really disciplined guy. You know, he's very poised, and he doesn't force things. He forces his opponent to make mistakes, and he just knows how to create these openings.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, man, is he's just – his boxing is, you know, you talk about Terrence Crawford and how he switches from time to time. And this guy does it so effortlessly. I mean, it's almost like part of the way he fights. I mean, it's just, he could fight either way the entire fight. He really could. He's that good at it. I mean, and like you said, mid combination, he's switching. It's crazy, man. How good is he in that division? He gives anybody problems, right? I mean, he gives anybody problems. Nobody walks right through this guy. No question.
I think you could make an argument. He may even be the best in that division at this point in time.
Yeah.
You can make an argument.
You can absolutely make an argument.
Just on pure skill alone. And here's the thing. Being off for as long as he's been off and having to pull it all together, and credit to Brendan Engel. Brendan Engel is he's a good trainer, but he also knows how to get guys in shape. He's really good with the physical fitness. He's good with strength and conditioning. You know, he knows how to get a guy in shape. And if this wasn't even his best, this is him coming off of a 2-year layoff. And Tony Bellew made a great statement. He said, you know, it's not just the inactivity in terms of just being sharp from a skill set standpoint, but not having to make weight for 2 years, that will definitely – oh, Dominic Engel. Brendan Engel is the dad. That's right. Thank you so much for the correction. I always get them confused with Dominic Engel. The dad was named Brendan. Just not even being at his best and being able to put on a masterful performance. You know, all these other guys that came off long layoffs. Look what happened with Warrington. He got knocked out by Laura. That just tells you how talented this guy is, being able to perform that way with everything being considered, with all those caveats there, right? Being off and, you know, not looking great at the weigh-in, and he just pulled it all together. So, yeah, I gotta give him credit.
Yeah, I tell you, I was a little concerned at that weigh-in when I saw him, and, I mean, he looked very drawn. He did not look good at all, you know. But hey, he went in there and he looked great when it counted, you know, and that's the fight, you know. It was something else, man. So was it Josh Warrington announcing, and I think he picked Dickens to win, didn't he? He's such a sap.
The whole broadcast team, once again.
Give him some bag.
You know, Tony Bellew has some type of ties with Dickens as well.
Clearly does. Yeah, he clearly does.
I think he's a manager, or they're in the same camp or whatever. They're really close friends. I just think it was ridiculous how biased they were towards Dickens. They just were. Mm-hmm. And they were doing everything they could to try to make it sound like, Dickens was going to win this fight. And they were discrediting, and then Warrington went on about, oh, well, I beat him and this and that. No, you lost. I mean, come on, bro. At least say the fight could have gone either way. Just be honest. Like when Andre Ward fought Kovalev, all right, he said the fight could have gone either way. So, you know, it is. Let's just be objective. You can be biased, but try to be objective. I have nothing against Tony Bellew, but he's just extremely biased. The UK broadcast teams are usually, they're just very, very biased toward the guys they like. Same thing with Bridges. When Bridges was fighting Courtney, I mean, Bridges was losing that fight clearly. It just wasn't as close as they said it was.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there trying to hype him up. They got to do a better job. They got to try to at least be somewhat objective. They were so heavily against Galahad, it was ridiculous. You know, and
I don't know why they don't like him.
I guess Ryan
Hong, one of the best
boxers
in the world, man.
Ryan Hong said in the chat that they hate on Galahad because he tested positive for stuff in the past. I don't remember that, but I'm not saying it's not true. I don't
Listen, man, it's what have you done for me lately? And he put on a good performance last night.
Yeah, I thought it was a very solid performance. And even when I was doing that live fight cast, right,
mm-hmm.
with him versus Warrington a couple of years ago, people in the chat were, like, so biased towards Warrington. Like, they had scores like, oh, they had, like, Warrington winning, like, 117 or 112. It's like, come on. Warrington didn't win that fight. And if you had him winning, then it'd have to be narrow. Like, I had Galahad winning at least 8 of those 12 rounds.
I can't make a – you know what? I watched
possibly
that
nine.
Fight. Yeah.
Possibly nine.
I watched that fight. I cannot make a case for Warrington winning that fight.
I tried. I was going out of my way. I was going out of my way to make a case. The best I could come up with was 8-4. You know? I just couldn't see it.
Yeah. My Iron Throne, and we'll talk about this in a minute. What about the TBC commentators crying about Fox losing? They were nuts. I had Fox losing. Yeah, I don't know, man.
I didn't have Fox losing. I mean,
I had Fox winning pretty handily. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get that. I mean,
hey, but hey, you know what? My Iron Throne may not agree with us, but hey, he agreed with the judges, so there you go. So hey, and they're the ones that count, right? George Hall says Warrington has a huge British fan base compared to Galahad.
He does.
Fine, but I mean, listen, man, when the guy gets beat, he gets beat. You know what I mean? You got a champion out there. I mean, possibly.
And he was so
salty.
Like, he was, like, constantly trying to throw shade.
Yeah,
like,
he was.
Even when he was trying to say positive things about Galahad, he was like, well, yeah, I mean, he's good, but. Like, there's always a
okay.
But. I mean, he's good. You know,
well, how good is he? He vacated his title to not fight him again. So
yeah, he didn't give him a rematch, bro. I mean,
didn't give him
like,
a rematch. He'd rather vacate his title than fight him again. Let that sink in. Yeah. So that lets you know what kind of guy he is. You know what I mean? Like,
I would never fight him again if I was Galahad, unless he was made a mandatory. I would never fight him because he was so disrespectful after that fight to Galahad. Like, at least say the fight could have gone. Like, when Regis Prograis lost to Taylor, said, yeah, you know, I thought I could have edged it, but the fight could have gone either way. I can't complain about the decision.
Yeah.
I mean, Ward said the same thing with Kovalev. I thought Ward won the fight. A lot of people don't, but, it is what it is. At least acknowledge that the fight could have gone either way. Oh, you didn't clearly win that fight. You didn't.
No.
You know, so stop. I just don't think you did.
No, I don't think you did either. I mean, that's the thing, man. Lion Killer in the chat. Salute. How are you doing, man? Andres Rodriguez. Salute. Centurion Sun up early. Salute. George Hall. Salute. JC, of course. Salute. And, of course, anybody I missed in there, salute. Let's go on with this DAZN card, man. Let's talk about the Alan Babich fight. Alan Babich versus Mark Bennett. Babich wins via TKO in the fifth. Babich landed like 50,000 punches or something like that in the fifth round. The fight definitely needed to be stopped, no question. Overall, and Babich is a big fan favorite over there. You know, a lot of people like him. He's got an exciting style, I guess. You know, listen, guys, I wouldn't get your hopes up if you're a Babich fan. I'll be honest, man.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything in there that shouted, you know, talent. You know,
this guy does not have great defense at all.
Doesn't have great anything. I got to be honest, he doesn't have great. He doesn't have a great offense. He doesn't have a great defense.
He telegraphs everything.
Everything.
He's in great shape.
Sure.
Strong kid.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to fight him, but I just don't see him beating the iron in this division, or even.
I don't see him beating.
I don't even see him beating mid level. I don't see him.
I
don't even see him beating mid level. I just don't. And he's undersized greatly, you know. And then Dillian White's like, yeah, you know, he's got to get some strength and conditioning and got to put some muscle on. Yeah, that may help him in clinches and stuff like that. But I don't think it's gonna. I don't know. I don't know how much that could add to him. I think he needs to sharpen up his technique and body punches. He needs to throw body punches, and he needs to, you know, not telegraph the shots so much and try to be more fluid.
That's the thing, man. I mean, he's, you know, for his, you know, he's just not there. You know what I mean? He's not going to get there. Yeah, you look at some guys and you say, like, some guys have what it takes to get to the next level, because at that next level, at that top level, everybody's technique is good. There's small little flaws in everybody's game, but everybody's technique is good. Everybody knows how to throw a jab, a hook, a cross, everything like that. Everybody can do everything real well. Babish does nothing well. He doesn't.
Well, here's the thing. One guy's name was being thrown around a lot as a potential opponent for these up-and-coming UK prospect heavyweights, and that name was Carlos Takam. Now, I don't know if these guys were watching the Takam-Joe Joyce fight, but Takam gave Joe Joyce everything he could handle, and I had him up in the fight. A lot of people had him up in the fight, and he was actually winning that fight before he got stopped. I don't think either one of those guys last night, I'm talking about the heavyweight prospects that were being showcased on the card, I don't think they beat Takam right now. I just don't. I just don't. So they need to pump the brakes on that. These guys need to continue to be carefully matched, and they need to have their opponents, you know, make sure they're not at that Takam level at this point in time. In my opinion, they need to be moved very carefully.
They, you know, they mentioned Takam, but I mean Takam. Listen, man, Takam is definitely past his prime. Okay,
he's still solid.
He can still give you problems. Talking about Takam at this stage of their career, no.
Yeah, I'm not with that right now.
No.
To be honest with you, I'm not with that.
I don't think so either. Another guy they were hyping up last night was Fabio Wardley. Fabio Wardley versus Nick Webb. Wardley wins by first round KO over Nick Webb. Nick Webb shook him a little bit early, but Fabio came back. Fabio is another one that I'm watching, and I could see every punch before it lands. I could see when he's going to throw. I could watch him get set to throw. I shouldn't be able to see that. You know what I mean? I should not be able to see that. You know, you can tell when this guy's going to throw a punch. You can tell where that punch is coming from. Again, you know, and I know he's undefeated. He's got like, 11-10 or something like that, 10 knockouts or something. But, I don't think so, man. He's another one they're trying to hype up that I don't think is right there either. Just a prospect coming up, and that's all he's going to be, I think. I would be surprised, and I've been wrong before. So, you know.
Well, my Iron Throne just made a comment in the chat, and he said he loves Babbage's comments. Though I don't train, I fight. Well, you need to train, or you're just going to be stuck at the level that you're at right now. If you don't go in there and train with the intention of learning and getting better and honing your craft, then you're not going to get better. You're just going to stay where you're at. So that's great. You know, you'll be in entertaining fights as long as you last, but how long will you last? That's the question. And I thought it was cool how we got married and everything. You know, she's a beautiful woman.
You like to see that, you know?
I like that.
You know, I don't train, I fight. And those are great comments, and those are great sound bites and everything. But, you know, and you talked about it'll be an entertaining fight while it lasts. Listen, man, if they put him up against anybody with any kind of class, any kind of skill level, even at his, you know, even at his record and everything like that, he's going to get demolished. That fight's like, I mean, he's going to get demolished. There's no two ways about it, man.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah. Jesus M says, not a very good card from the UK.
I disagree. I thought it was okay.
I thought it was okay. I liked the last fight. I thought the last fight was really good. And again, man, Babich and Fabio, they're entertaining. I'm not going to take that away from them. They were entertaining.
Babich, you want to see
knockouts, you got them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want out of a heavyweight. You know, Babich, and Bennett was landing some shots. He was there for some resistance, and before Webb went out, both Webb and Bennett, they came to fight. So you can't ask any more than that. I mean, they just didn't have it, you know. But these were the right opponents for these guys at this stage of their careers. Now, 10 fights down the road, they're still fighting, you know, a Mark Bennett or a Webb, then you have to ask yourself why. And that would be a red flag, right? So,
yeah, absolutely.
It's what it is.
Absolutely.
I had no problem with the card.
Yeah, I didn't either. Ebony Bridges versus Beck Conley. Ebony Bridges stops Beck Conley in the third round. Conley had a record of 3-10 or 3-9 or something before that fight, and then she was 3-10. So, you know, draw your own conclusions. Why they put her in there with a 3-10, you know, she's 5-0 and they put her in there with somebody 3-10, I don't know.
Well, she's got a loss. She got one loss.
So what? I mean, the other girl's got 10, you know? I mean,
no, I know, but she lost.
I mean, listen, the bottom of the brass tacks of it is we know why Beck Conley was there.
Yeah.
You know, she was there. Yeah, she wasn't there to win, you know? And I'm not saying, you know, she didn't train to win. I'm saying they put her in there because they knew she wasn't going to win.
Of course. But did you see anything out of Ebony Bridges that impressed you, that made you say that she's going to be a champion someday?
Oh, no. Nothing like that. I saw a lot of stuff out of Ebony Bridges that impressed me. None of them were in the ring. I'll tell you what. You know, I'm trying, you know. It is what it is, man. It's early.
It's a family show. This ain't Pornhub.
This ain't Pornhub. Is that what you said?
That's what I said. Take it easy.
You know, I tell you what. Bridges caused more of a stir at the weigh-in with her outfit than she did at the fight. You know, I mean, she comes out there in this, like, skimpy little bikini or something like that. And, and what was it? She said, I guess Eddie Hearn was looking at her or something like that. And she, I guess she was tweeting out, Eddie's not looking or something. Just, like, dude, you don't want to be a – listen, man, you don't want to be a fighter. You want to be in something else. You know, you want to be wrapped up in something else. You know, Tracy, Boxer Girl, you can see Boxer Girl was in our chat last week, and she's been in there, and Brad's with her on Twitter and everything. She made a comment last week, oh, my God, don't sexualize her. Don't sexualize the women. I get it. But what are we supposed to – I mean, she comes out here. She's sexualizing herself, right? She comes out here in these skimpy little outfits. She's posting these skimpy little outfits all over Twitter and everything. She's wearing these, so we look at her shoes. I mean, come on. I don't understand. Like,
we have to make up our minds.
I'm confused.
What is it? Can these girls be able to show off their sexuality and not be shamed for it, not be slut-shamed? Or when we comment on it, can we not be shamed that we're being objectifying women?
That's it. There you go.
Because here's the thing, you know, what does that actually mean when you're objectifying a living thing? Like she's a person, she's not an object, so you're not really objectifying her. Now, if she's showing you things, then you're looking at what she's showing you and you're commenting on what she's showing you. In other words, if a woman puts herself out there, then a man is going to be a man. That's just the way it is. So now, does this have a place in boxing? Well, obviously it does, because people are watching. People follow her. Does that make me believe it, or does that sway me to give her more credit for her boxing ability than I should? No. Does that make other people? Possibly. And I have to admit, and again, the word hater will always get thrown around when you do constructive criticism towards anyone or anybody or any person. You're hating. No, I'm giving my opinion, giving my own constructive criticism of what I see in terms of her boxing. She pushes her jab. She slaps with her hook. She doesn't bend her knees and sit down on her shots. She's very stiff, doesn't move her head at all. She's just not very fluid. She looks like a person who's trying to box, but she doesn't look like a person who's naturally a boxer and naturally boxing. Is she in great shape? Yes. Do I give her credit for trying? Yes. Do I knock her hustle? Absolutely not. Go out and do your thing. And if people are going to pay to watch you, then you go ahead and put yourself out there and you do the, you know. But if someone asks me, Beeb, is she a good fighter? I'm going to have to say I don't think she's a good boxer. I just don't think she's good.
She's that great. I don't either. I don't think she's that great.
I don't think she'll ever beat a top level. They're trying to tell us she's a big puncher. She's not a big puncher. She's not. She only has, like, what? She has five victories. I think this was only her, like, second knockout or something like that. She doesn't have a lot of knockouts. She has six victories. I think this may have been her second or third knockout. And she's really never beat anyone clean. Like, she's like, there's stoppages. Like, this girl was just out muscled, really. You know, she wasn't really knocked out clean. So I don't know. I just don't think she is what we're being told she is. And that's just me. Now, am I going to give her extra credit because she talks well, because she's a flamboyant personality? No, I'm not, because some people admire her for how she looks. I'm just not going to give her extra credit for that. Now, other people want to do that. I can't control it.
I'm going to give her a ton of extra credit for that. Centurion Sun says, Eric, does your wife allow you to watch Ebony Bridges weigh-ins? I have to watch her when she's not around. Yeah, she won't let me. She won't let me do that. You know, so, but you know, you made a great point. You know, she's not a great boxer, and she's not going to develop into it. What is she, 35, you said? She ain't going.
She's 34.
Yeah, this is her cap right here. Okay, so as a promoter, as I guess she's with Matchroom or whatever, you know, as a promoter, what do you do with a girl like this? Well, you have to capitalize on something because you know she's not going to go to the top. You know what I mean? So they use this. So this is why, you know, but this is why, you know, women's boxing, a lot of people don't like it. This is why a lot of people won't watch it. They don't take it seriously. Because this girl's out here, it's like lingerie football or something like that. You know what I mean? Nobody takes that seriously. Why would you watch that?
Yeah.
You know, we know she can't fight. We know she looks great.
Well, and then those DAZN commentators, once again, I mean, they're trying to sell us something that just isn't there. And they, if they want to do that, they can do that. But I just honestly think that they're pushing her because of her personality, because of her looks.
Sure.
And if it was somebody else that was doing the same thing she's doing but didn't have the personality and looks, then she wouldn't be getting the attention she's getting. And they wouldn't be saying things like, they wouldn't be going out of their way during the telecast and during the broadcast to make her sound like she's doing more than what she's doing and make her describe like what she's doing as being more effective than it really is. I have to be honest. I just think these guys are being intellectually dishonest, trying to say, oh, this girl is a knockout artist. I mean, she has three knockouts in six fights, and the girls she knocked out are not top level fighters. So it is what it is. And we saw when she fought Shannon Courtenay, who's a good fighter. I think she has skills, but even she's not a top level female yet. She still has a lot to learn, and she still has to develop. I would consider her a very solid fighter. I would not consider her one of the elite. And you know, even Shannon Courtenay, with her lack of experience, I think she took Ebony Bridges to school. I think Ebony Bridges at most won three rounds. You could even argue that she only won two. So that fight with Shannon Courtenay, I thought was an 8-2, 7-3 type fight. I thought she got blown out, and everyone was trying to say that was close. Some people had it a draw. I just don't see it. I don't see what they're saying.
Yeah, Ignorant Boxing says that the British reporter compared Bridges to Ali. I didn't hear that. Did you hear that?
Well, in his defense, what he said was because of her personality. He never said that from a skill standpoint that she was Ali. but because of her personality, she could attract a lot of attention to female boxing, women's boxing, because she has that Ali-type personality.
Personality.
But I don't even know if I would go that far with that comparison either. She's the type of person where I think she's a nice, she seems like a nice person. Like you can hang out with her. She's very friendly, whatever. I don't think she comes off as being unlikable. She comes off as being likable, but I don't think she's as witty. I don't think there's too many people out there like Ali from a personality standpoint. I think Fury maybe, but not even, you know, you can make a comparison.
Let's get down to brass tacks here. Nobody's tuning in to watch her because of her personality.
No, not at all.
She can have Clarissa Shields' personality. People are going to watch her.
Yeah.
Because of the way she looks.
Yeah, I don't agree with the comment, but I don't think it's – I think it was still misinterpreted by the boxing public. I don't think that they're saying she's Ali in terms of skill.
Right.
Or in terms of accomplishments. And obviously when Ali – retired, he did great things for people, he made some great contributions to society, let's just say that, by going to Iraq and helping getting those hostages freed, and just by speaking and just helping unfortunate people, and you know, all the work he's done outside of the ring, obviously, you know, you have to give him credit for that. So Ali is known not only for being a great fighter, but just being a great human being in general. So,
yeah, for sure. All right, we're gonna pause here right now. We're gonna talk about Manscaped. All right. So listen, man, guys, we really need you to get behind this. We really need you to support this. It would help us out tremendously. You have no idea, because Beeb, this show ain't free. It's not free, son. We gotta pay. We got people we gotta pay. All right. So if you guys could just throw a little support our way and support Manscaped, we'd really appreciate it. Listen, man. Support for Ringside Reporter is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below the waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, 4.0. 2 million men worldwide who trusted Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you, 20% off, free worldwide shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER. One word, RINGSIDEREPORTER at manscaped.com. Imagine shaving with a sleek, well-designed, and optimized trimmer that makes shaving time your favorite time in the bathroom. Try the new Lawnmower 4.0 and be blown away by the performance, the craftsmanship, and the details on the 4.0. They are all next level. Manscaped engineered the ultimate body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Nobody wants accidents, I'll tell you that. Skin-safe technology is what they use, and everybody can feel confident shaving below the waist. A new multifunction on-off switch can engage a travel lock created for people that travel a lot. Count me as one of those people for when the pandemic is over. A 4,000K LED spotlight on and off for when needed for a more precise shave. The Lawnmower 4.0 allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard links with sizes 1 through 4. Did I mention The Lawnmower 4.0 has a new wireless charging system. You can take it in the shower. Battery lasts a long time. Listen, Manscaped's got you covered, all right? Let's be honest, man. If you're still shaving your face and your body with the same trimmer, you're doing it all wrong. Boost your confidence with the new body trimmer by Manscaped and make me time the best time with a smooth shave. Get 20% off free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER at manscaped.com. Once again, 20% off, free shipping with the code RINGSIDEREPORTER, one word, at manscaped.com. 20%, guys. Go get it. 20%. Beeb, it's good stuff.
Good deal. And, you know, everybody has to groom down there, whether they want to admit it or not. And if they don't, they should.
That's where you're coming from. That was the key word. Right there.
Make
you
your girl
if
happy.
They don't, they should.
Make
That's
your girl
the
happy.
Point. That's it.
Make your girl happy.
That's why I love it. Beeb comes up with it, and he comes up with the home run. If you don't, you should. They have it, and you know what? Even if you're not into that, all right? Even if you're not into it, there's a ton of products on there. Good stuff. Me and Beeb have sampled quite a few stuff. The underwear. I love the underwear, Beeb.
All right, let's take it easy now.
I'm just saying. I was watching the Ebony Bridges weigh-in, and it – Never mind. Just all right, let's just move on. Let's just move on, okay?
Take it easy now.
You said what you needed to say.
Now, don't give these guys the ammunition in the chat to take shots.
I'm just saying, it's early. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Make your girl
happy. Make sure you guys shave your nuts. That's the message.
Oh, how dare you? What's the matter with you? See, you had to take it there. It's awful. You just took it to another level. Unbelievable.
Gotta do it.
All right. ESPN, Mick Conlon versus TJ Dehenny. Conlon wins a unanimous decision over Dehenny by the scores of 119-108 and 116-111 twice. With the win, Mick Conlon wins the WBA Interim Featherweight Championship, whatever that means. Steve?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you say that because they came out with an article, the WBA, saying that they're going to look at reducing the amount of titles they have. You should have been done that a long time ago because people are actually laughing and they're making jokes about how many titles are on the WBA. And I don't know if the WBA is finally starting to listen to people's comments because they never did before.
Right.
Because no one was ever happy with the regular titles and all these interim titles and these champions and recesses. I think boxing has continued to shoot itself in the foot, and people wonder why. You know, there's criticism for the sport of boxing, and there's not more people watching the sport of boxing because boxing does it to themselves.
Yeah, I mean, but you know what? He did bring up a point, and I did like his point, okay? They asked the president of the WBA, and they were talking about it, and he said, you know, he did this so boxers could get more recognition, so boxers would have more places to go with these titles. That's why they did it. I can respect that. I can respect that. It's the wrong move, but I get it.
Well, I still want to know how it's helping the boxers. I really do, because if you're a big name, you're going to make money anyways. Like, for instance, does the title really add that much to a fighter in terms of earning potential? You could argue that the opposite because, you know, he's got to pay a sanctioning fee, right?
Oh, of course.
You know, it kind of freezes him out sometimes from fighting for others. It takes him out of the rankings. So he's got a regular title, and it takes him out of the rankings of fighting for,
Any other organization. Any other organization, right.
So if you're a WBA regular champion, they're going to take you out of the WBC and the IBF, and you may be able to fight the WBA super, but that's a maybe. That's an if, right? So I'm not so sure it is as beneficial, you know, as people imply that it is. Would Tank Davis make any less if he was not a WBA regular champion? Does that really add to his purse because he gets to put the name WBA regular champion in front of it?
Fans like title fights.
I mean, it's
true. Fans, like casual fans and stuff, they love titles. They love because otherwise, why am I going to watch it if not it? Think about it. Any big fight, they have a title on the line. Even if neither one of them are champion, they'll put a belt on the line.
All right, so that's
what they want.
When he fought in his last fight with Barrios, right? Mm-hmm. I guess he fought for Barrios' regular title.
Yeah.
It did 200,000 pay-per-view buys, because some people say it did less. Did the belt really bring anything to that fight?
Well, the event was sold out. Wasn't it?
But would it have not been sold out if the belt was not on the line?
I don't believe so.
I disagree with that because Tank has made himself a name in that area. So either I don't think Tank needs to fight for regular belts to be popular. I think Tank will be popular. I don't think it added. I mean, if that title was such a big selling point, then they probably would have sold more than 200,000 pay-per-view buys or Some people even question they sold that many. So in my opinion, I don't think that the belts, those regular belts, bring that much to the table.
It also cheapens the title, doesn't it? I mean,
well,
it opens the title.
It opens the fighter up to criticism, in my opinion. Because people are going to say, you're not the real champion. It's like when you're playing in a tournament or whatever, or just like how they cut the round time limit from 3 to 2. What do people say? Well, why can't the women fight 3 like the men do, right? It's like you're moving the goalposts, right? So you're trying to create a title to make it easier for people to become a world champion. So you're lowering the bar and the standard for fighters. You're trying to make it easier.
That's what it is.
Right? It's like when they have all these expansion teams in like the NBA and baseball and even in the NFL, it makes it easier for people to play in the league. So the league becomes watered down. So then you make the argument, well, when there was less teams, the league was better. The fighters were better back when there were less champions because it was harder to become a champion. You have Floyd Mayweather saying that he fought the most world champions in history. Yeah, because you fought an era with the most belts in history.
Yeah, so, there you go. That's a good point.
Well,
Great point.
You give people the opportunity to put an asterisk next to your name.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. And I don't like the belts. That's the first time I'd heard the WBA president say that. I had never heard that before. I think Neff said it was like 5 years ago when he said that. I just found out.
No, I read an article. Yeah. I read an article on my Google News feed today that they just recently said it again. So they this isn't the first time they've said that. Neff is 100% correct. It's been brought up before.
Yeah.
But you created your own monster and you made it worse. So
right.
Since that time when Dan Raphael first wrote that article, now I think they have a WBA gold title. They have all these crazy titles. Yeah, this article popped up in my Google News feed this morning, and that's how I read about it.
Right. You can't criticize. Listen, I live in Ohio. We get the news later than everybody else there. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm in a big city.
Yeah, Beeb gets the news first. You know, Beeb and Neff end up getting the news first. I'm still, still 20 years behind. So. There you go. All right, before we get to the dumpster fire, let's talk about the Olympics. Duke Reagan just missed the gold medal from Cincinnati with a razor-thin decision loss to Albert Batargaziev from Russia. It was a good fight. I thought that Batargaziev put some pressure on Reagan to begin with, but I thought that Duke Reagan won rounds 2 and 3. I thought he controlled the action. Again, he got, you can't say it was a robbery. You know what I mean? You can't say it was a robbery. Good competitive fight. Can't say it was a robbery. I thought Reagan won it, but, it is what it is. Keyshawn Davis last night fought about 1:15 in the morning and then followed by Ricardo Torres. Keyshawn Davis versus Andy Cruz of Cuba. Listen, man, I didn't think this fight was that close, I'll be honest. I thought Keyshawn Davis won this fight. Listen. I don't know what it is about the Cuban fighters that they like, but Andy Cruz, if you watched Andy Cruz fight, he's almost unwatchable. He dances. He'll throw a shot every now and then, maybe a couple of combos. Listen, man, Keyshawn Davis to me was the aggressor. He was more effective. He landed the harder shots. I don't know. I don't know what they were watching, man. I really don't.
He lost?
Yeah.
Sucks.
I don't know what they were watching. So Keyshawn Davis lost, I think it was like 4-1 that he lost.
Lost 4-1, yeah. So that's the thing. That's why a lot of these guys, they don't even want to go in the Olympics because it's just the scoring system is ridiculous.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't know what they, I don't know why they like that type of style versus the guy who was being more effective. I just don't know, man.
Yeah.
Richard Torres of the U.S. versus Bakhodir Jalalov of Uzbekistan. Now, Jalalov is a pro. He's 8-0 with 8 knockouts. He's already promoted by Dabella. This is a dangerous proposition for that guy because if he goes in there and gets beat, his momentum slows to a crawl. But he did. He won. And, these two fought in 2019. In the world championships. And I don't know, Beeb, if you saw this fight, or if you saw a the one in 2019, if you didn't go YouTube it, Torres gets knocked cold. He had to get carried out on the stretcher.
Wow.
He was beaten. Last night, he had very first round, Torres landed, I think it was a left hand that stunned Jalalov. I gave Torres the first round. I mean, he had, and I think everybody else gave, I think they gave Jalalov, I think they gave Jalalov the first round, which I don't understand. But he had him buzzed a couple times in that first round. Second round, Jalalov just came in with that jab. He looked, I think D-Style made the comparison that he was doing the Vladimir Klitschko thing, and he sure was. But hey, he was effective and he won the fight. So and it's a fight you couldn't really argue about. The guy definitely won that fight.
So we're going home with three silvers?
Yeah.
That sucks.
No golds. What's going on? I think they need to gut that US boxing team, the coaches, everything like that, whole organization, and start from the ground up and redo it, because what they're doing is not working. Was it 2004? With Andre Ward, or was it 2000? Was four, wasn't it? When he won the gold?
Yes, 2004.
Yeah.
I believe.
Ryan Hong says, did Davis get robbed? I think he got robbed. I really do. I really think that Davis got robbed. Did Duke Reagan get robbed? No. It was a close decision. Could have went either way. This fight, I didn't think. I thought Keyshawn Davis beat this guy pretty sound. You know. So, yeah. And Richard Torres definitely got beat. So, Galyafai from the UK wins flyweight gold against Carlos Palam with a 4-1 decision. Carlos Palam, of course, from the Philippines. Galyafai is the younger brother of Calyafai. So, they were.
But the UK got a gold, huh?
They got two. They got two. Price won gold last night, too, that girl they got over there. She looked good, man. She looked really good.
Good for her.
But, you know, they get to fight China in the final round. We got to fight like Russia. We got to fight like,
yeah,
you know,
that's crazy.
Yeah, you know, we got to fight Cuba. We got to fight Russia. We got to fight Uzbekistan, the hard-hitting countries. You know, we don't get China in the last round. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
That's crazy. That's bananas.
Centurion Sons, they need Ruben Guerrero and Angel Garcia's trainers. Could you imagine? Could you imagine how great that would be?
That would be crazy.
Yeah. One punch flatlined. Yeah, that's the Richard Torres fight 2 years ago. There you go. All right, so let's go to this dumpster fire they were calling the Fox card. Gabriel Maestre versus Michael Fox for the WBA, another WBA interim welterweight title. Maestre wins a unanimous decision over Fox by the scores of 114, 113, 115, 112, and 117, 110. I'm not real sure what the judges are watching here. I didn't think it was close at all. I thought that Fox won this fight. Maestre was pressuring him, but he wasn't being effective. And I love pressure.
Yeah, he was being picked off every time he tried to come inside. He didn't have that much effectiveness with his aggression. That's
no.
The thing. He was aggressive with minus the effectiveness.
No.
It's called effective aggression. So I don't think it was very effective in my opinion.
Well, not only that, but Joe Goosen said after the fight, you know, the WBA president is here. The guy's from the WBA. Now, the guy only had like four pro fights, wasn't it? I think that guy.
I think that was his fifth fight. But yeah, yes, he did have four fights. That's correct.
What? And this guy's already fighting for an interim belt?
Yeah.
Come on, man. He wasn't even that good.
Like
How
David
did you
Morrell.
Rank him
it's
that
like,
high?
It's like David Morrell. He's got like, I think he's like 5 or 6-0, and he's 168. He's the 168 pound regular titleist. Well, once again, Eric. I mean, this is what you have.
Right. Right.
And does anyone know who David Morrell is at 168 with all due respect? No. But you made him the regular WBA champion. So who what does that actually do for him?
Yeah, does nothing. Does absolutely nothing for him. You know, bad decision there. Was it an entertaining fight? Not really. I didn't think it was that entertaining. You had one guy moving and jabbing and the other guy just chasing him around. Let's see here. Louis Collazo versus Amantas Stanonosis. I don't know. The fight ended in a no decision as Collazo couldn't continue because of an accidental headbutt. Yeah, okay. I was just shocked Louis Collazo's still fighting. I had no idea. Devin Alexander versus Lucas Santa Maria. Santa Maria wins a unanimous decision over Alexander, 98-92 twice and 97-93. Not an incredibly great fight either. Looks like Devin Alexander tore his bicep. He showed a picture of it on Twitter, and it was like, I mean, he had it straight, and it was like curled up like he was flexing. So that's usually a pretty good indication that it's torn. So there you go. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here. Let's see here. Tulsa, ESPN Plus on August 14th, next week. Joshua Franco versus Andrew Maloney, 12 rounds for Franco's WBA regular junior bantamweight title. Arnold Barboza versus Antonio Moran, 10 rounds junior welterweights. Jason Maloney versus Joshua Greer, 10 rounds bantamweights. Trey Lippe Morrison, also on the card against the dreaded TBA. I figured he'd be in there. It's in Tulsa. You figure he'd be on there.
Yeah.
August 14th on Showtime, John Rael Casimero versus Guillermo Rigondeaux. That's a good, good fight. 12 rounds for Casimero's WBO bantamweight title and Rigondeaux's WBA regular bantamweight title. Regular.
I like Casimero in that fight.
I do, too. I really do, too. That's going to be a good, good fight, man. That is solid. And also Antonio Russell versus Emmanuel Rodriguez, 12 rounds for the WBA bantamweight title. That's a good fight, too, man. Also, too, Baby Pitt, Nuke, Rashee Warren versus Cincinnati's own son, Rashee Warren, versus Damian Vasquez, 10 rounds bantamweights. I'm really interested in that fight. I'm really interested to see what Rashee has. You know, he's had a couple of rough spots. I'm really interested to see where he is in this fight. So I'll be watching that one for sure. On DAZN, August 14th, a lot of action next week. Virgil Ortiz Jr. versus Edgis Cabaluskas, 12 rounds welterweights. Roger Gutierrez versus Rene Alvarado, 12 rounds for Gutierrez, WBA regular junior lightweight title. Felix Alvarado also on the card, fighting against Eric Lopez for Alvarado's IBF junior flyweight title. There you go on DAZN from Frisco, Texas. Also on DAZN from Essex, England on August 14th, Joshua Buatsi versus Ricardo Boltnicks. Isn't that Eddie Hearn's backyard? His leg was part of it.
Or whatever. Oh, it's really cool, believe it or not.
It's awesome, right?
I like
it's really cool, yeah? That's a big backyard. He's got a big house, man. So there you go. And that'll be on DAZN also. And, of course, the following week, 21st, Errol Spence versus Manny Pacquiao. A lot of people betting on Pacquiao in that fight, man. A lot of people backing Pacquiao to win that fight. Listen, I've been wrong before. I've been wrong about Pacquiao before. Spence is going to stop this guy. Spence is going to steamroll this guy, guys. It's not happening.
Eric, nobody's steamrolling anybody. Now, will he win the fight? Possibly, but
Be a steamroll? What would be a steamroll? 118? 10 rounds for two, that's a steamroll, right?
117 and 111 would be a steamroll.
He's going to steamroll Pacquiao.
That ain't happening.
He's going to steamroll Pacquiao.
That ain't happening.
I love Pacquiao. I hope he wins, but I don't think he will.
Don't count Pacquiao. I think Pacquiao's going to beat him.
What?
I think Pacquiao's going to beat him.
Beat Errol Spence?
Yep. I think he's going to beat him.
Oh, son, you're on. What are we betting?
I think he's going to beat him.
Pie bet?
We ain't going to.
Do a pie bet.
Bet anything you want. I think he's going to beat him.
We'll do a pie bet. We'll do a pie bet.
Why don't we bet this? Why don't we bet that Pacquiao wins at least five rounds? That's a more fair bet. You said he's going to steamroll him. Let's bet at least. Let's bet Pacquiao wins at least five rounds on one of the cards. That's a good bet.
How about on two of the cards?
No, one.
One. We could have that judge.
Here's the bet. One round, five rounds on one card, and at least four on the other. That's a good bet.
You're on. That's a pie bet.
That's a good bet. I have to call someone. Just messaged me. One of my UK fans. I have to bring this out. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't like doing name dropping. He said, "Come on, B. Two of our guys got to the finals and faced Cubans and lost credit to your five. He beat the Cuban on his way to the final, but he does say Keyshawn should have gotten the nod, though."
Yeah, Keyshawn should have definitely got that nod.
And me being the typical throw people under the bus like I did, I said, talk to Eric. He said it, not me.
I
did a beating yards at beat on the Pacquiao thing, and I'll do it again. So I'll probably save.
Yeah.
I'll save some of the. I don't want to talk too much about it now because let's save it for like when the fight. Probably next week will be a good preview show. So that'll be our preview show, and we'll talk about that fight extensively next week. So.
Yeah, he's rolling that guy, son. He's rolling Pacquiao. Pacquiao hasn't fought in, what, 2 years?
Wow, look at the chat. A lot of people,
a lot of people thinking Pacquiao, yeah.
People watched I made a couple of videos on this fight, and the breakdowns were incredible. Like, after the breakdowns, the odds. The
breakdowns were incredible.
The odds. You know what the odds are now? Like, Pac was like a plus 350. He's like a plus 175 now after I did those videos.
Son, he's getting murked, son.
Let's look at the odds right
he's
now.
He's getting murked. Okay, if Pacquiao gets knocked out, I don't care what the judges had on the scorecards, I win, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Even
yes.
If Pacquiao's ahead, I win.
Yes. That's without question. That's fair.
There it is.
I think that would be totally fair. It has to be. I think that would make sense, yeah. Pacquiao Spence, let's see what the odds are right now.
It's funny, man. I watched Beeb's breakdown on Pacquiao, and I put all my money on Spence.
Pacquiao is a plus 175. Spence is a minus 210. This is basically a 2-1. Dude, how is this 2-1?
A lot of people love Pacquiao. They love Pacquiao, man. He's like a national hero, man. He really is. He's a national hero in the Philippines. Everybody loves him here. How do you not like Pacquiao, though? I mean, really, like, he's a likable guy.
Were you shocked that Pacquiao beat Thurman?
I was surprised that Pacquiao beat Thurman, yeah. But, you know, like I said, before that fight, though, what do we say before the fight? You know, if Keith Thurman comes in trained on point and right and mind right and everything like that, I'm not saying that about Spence. We know Spence is coming in ready to go. And we know Spence is just a killer, man.
Well, I'm getting messages. People are picking Pac, too. A lot of people are picking Pac in this fight.
Sorry, count out my money. You know what I'm saying? He's getting murked, son. There's no way he's beating Errol Spence. None. Not even
Spence,
a little bit.
I don't think Spence is that killer anymore. Just don't. Like, he
did the car crash took it out of him?
I think he looked good against Danny, but Danny won four rounds, you know, and Danny's not the quickest guy in the world. I thought it was a good performance, but it wasn't. I don't think it was a dynamic performance. I don't think it was a standout performance. I thought it was just a solid performance, you know. I think that Spence is a much better fighter than Danny Garcia, but that fight did not reflect that obviously he's a better fighter, but I thought Spence would separate himself in that fight. I don't think he really did. I don't think he's – even in the Garcia fight, I don't know, people are saying, or even Spence was saying, I tried to box more in that fight. I didn't try to get him. He should have got up. I mean, how could he have not got Mikey out of there? You know what I mean? So I'm just starting to see a little bit of a transition with Spence.
Well, he's fighting better opposition too. That's the other thing. That's what people relate. Like, guys have a string of knockouts or whatever. All of a sudden, they step their game up and start fighting bigger opposition, you know, skill-wise and everything like that. So it's good. That stuff's going to happen. Griva says Spence couldn't even stop Mikey. Yeah, but he's going to stop Pac.
Spence hasn't scored a knockout in a while.
Pacquiao hasn't fought in a while.
He didn't stop. He didn't stop either Garcia, right? And he didn't stop Sean Porter. He went the distance in his last three fights.
Chandler M., you're on. Eric, I bet I'll take Pac over Spence. You're on. I bet.
So yeah. So if Pac wins this fight, you have to smash two pies in your face. In your face, not faces. I'm not saying you're two-faced. I'm not saying that.
Oh, that was cold-blooded, man.
But you have to.
Wow,
have to
that
smash
was cold.
Two pies. You have to smash two pies in your face if Pac wins this fight.
I'll do it. Well, no, because our bet is a little bit different. But I will tell you this. Go back and watch that Keith Thurman fight again, Beeb.
Yeah.
And you watch in the middle rounds how many right hands Keith Thurman hits Pacquiao with.
You hear what you just said? Go back and repeat what you just said.
Go back and watch the Keith Thurman fight and watch how many in the middle rounds, how many right hands he hit Pacquiao with.
What stance is Errol Spence?
Doesn't matter. What I'm saying
it does
is,
matter.
Listen, what I'm saying is Pacquiao's defense is not what it used to be.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
What I'm going to explain to you is Pacquiao is a southpaw that fights very uncharacteristically of a southpaw. Southpaws and even orthodox fighters, they move in the direction of their lead hand. Pacquiao moves to his left. Most southpaws move to his right. Pacquiao always walked into right hands. All the guys that gave Pacquiao problems were right-hand dominant fighters. Now, even though Keith Thurman landed a lot of those right hands, he wasn't really successful with it because Keith Thurman's big punch is his left hook. So Pacquiao was able to walk through a lot of those. When Pacquiao fought right-hand dominant guys like Morales, Marquez, Mayweather, all these guys gave him a shit ton of problems. Pacquiao has been at his best fighting left-hand dominant fighters. De La Hoya, all left hook. Cotto, all left hook. Ricky Hatton, all left hook. So
you can't put De La Hoya in that category. De La Hoya was shot when he fought him.
But even still, style-wise, if you don't have a right hand, you're not going to beat Manny Pacquiao because he walks into your right hand. Spence is not going to be throwing a straight right. Right?
Right.
So stylistic, and then that's going to throw Spence off.
What I'm saying is his defense isn't what it used to be. And he's not as fast.
He was never a great defensive fighter. He always got touched.
But he never
really got hit flush, except when he fought guys that were big right hand counterpuncher type fighters, right? Style wise, this is a good style for him, because Spence doesn't throw a shit ton of punches. He's not going to have to worry, because when he moves to his left, he's actually going to be moving away from the power hand of Spence, right? He's going to go in and out. And when Spence has to chase guys, it's not always as effective. He likes to be able to counter guys and trap them in corners. It's hard to pin Pacquiao down. Style-wise, and then he's going to have to be punching down with the jab, because Pacquiao's a very small target. And then he's going to have to be reaching down with the left hand. So a lot of these shots are going to have the leverage taken off them, because you get more leverage when you're punching up, not when you're punching down. I think because Pacquiao is fighting a southpaw, he's not going to have to worry about that right hand, and because of the movements, and because I think Pacquiao is so dangerous in the mid-range, I don't think that Spence is going to be able to get inside and keep Pacquiao trapped in a corner on the ropes. I just think that Pacquiao's movement and just the unorthodox way he fights, he doesn't fight like a traditional southpaw. So I think the style is going to be beneficial to him. Now, if he fought Crawford, I think he'd get waxed. But Spence, is a good style match for him.
Yeah, I think if we were talking 5 years ago, I'd agree with you. But we're not.
But 5 years ago, I don't even think it would be close. I think Pacquiao would blow him out. But now, I think Pacquiao has been – see, I've been watching Pacquiao, and like I said, when I'm watching Wilder train, I think I told you this before, I'm not looking for any physical slippage. I'm looking for tactical improvements. I'm not looking at tactical things from Pacquiao, because I already think his style is very tactically sound. I think it's very, very – it's very effective. But – I'm not seeing much slippage in speed. I'm obviously there, it's there, but it's not great enough to me where I could say that he's totally diminished. I still think that he's faster than Spence on his feet. Can even make an argument he still has faster hands than Spence. I still think even now he's faster than Spence.
I don't think he is.
I don't think Spence. Go watch. Spence is not an exceptionally quick guy.
He's not quick-handed?
He's not Taylor
with his hands, but he's quicker than Pacquiao is right now.
I don't think he is exceptionally quick. I thought Porter, foot speed-wise, when I watched Porter fight Spence, same ambush, similar ambush-type tactics, in and out, in and out, in and out. Same thing. I think it gave him problems. I still think Porter lost the fight. I scored it 8-4. A lot of other people scored it closer, right? I think the in-and-out movement and the fact that Pacquiao's not going to stand still for him and the way Pacquiao just throws quick flurries, he's going to steal a lot of these rounds on activity. I think Spence has a tendency sometimes to try to be too perfect with his shot. I think he's economical with his shot sometimes. Go back and watch the Kell Brook fight. Got off to an extremely slow start in that fight.
Yeah, he sure did.
Right? So, and even now, I think he starts slow. I think Pacquiao can bank a lot of these early rounds, and if he does do that, he can eke out a decision. I think he can win this fight because of the volume. I think he's going to outwork Spence.
KD Doctor in the chat, Chandler M, all you guys better keep the same energy after
the
fight.
Pacquiao's
after
the
fight,
bro. Pacquiao's faster than Spence.
After the fight, keep that same energy, all right? Keep that same energy, all right? I don't want to hear, Pacquiao, blah, blah, blah.
I'm
going to
create a poll. Is Pacquiao faster than Spence in the chat?
Pacquiao was faster than Spence 5 years ago. He's not faster than Spence now. I'm telling
you guys. He was a lot faster than him. Now he's just faster.
I'm telling you guys, he's not.
I think he is.
Let me ask you a question. If Pacquiao wins this fight, where does that put him in history? This is a big win.
Honestly?
Yeah.
This is going to sound ridiculous. I'll put him top 10. I won't put him top 5.
Really, why? Really, with this win?
Yeah.
Why? You don't like Errol Spence, man.
No, I.
Oh,
you know why? I have to compare him,
man.
I have to compare him to everybody else. When I look at Leonard, I look at Duran. I just don't see it as the same.
Really?
No.
You don't think he would have put up a fight against Leonard?
Pacquiao?
Yeah.
I don't think he would have beat Leonard.
Really?
I think style-wise, Floyd could beat. I think if Floyd and Leonard fought 10 times, I could see Floyd winning maybe 3 or 4 of them. If Pacquiao and Leonard fought 10 times, I would pick Leonard to win probably 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah,
probably.
I don't know, man.
I look at styles, bro. I mean, I just look at how styles match, like, how fighters match up against each other.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, man. I don't know. All right, let's go to the phones. 508. 508, you're live.
510 versus 5-5.
Hey, yo! What's happening, people?
No. Georgie.
Listen. You guys seem really, really motivated to do these 5 bets, huh? We got some type of competition going on. I like that. Now, Rigo is going to fight. I got Rigo. I heard you guys got who you guys got.
I got Casemiro.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, Beebs, you cannot get a title shot, but I'm going to give fucking Eric a title shot. What's up, Eric?
What's up?
I got fucking Rigo.
I'll take Casemiro.
There you go. We got a pie bet going on here.
We got the title
Eric,
on the line.
Eric can have the potential to get like 3 pies smashed in his face.
I know, over like a 2-week span.
It's bad,
Eric.
Span, it's bad. Yo, you sleeping on fucking Pacquiao, bro.
A lot of people think he's going to get. I don't see it. I don't see it even a little bit.
I juiced up Pacquiao.
Father Time is undefeated. Father Time is undefeated.
Time,
he's
nigga,
getting
he got
murked,
juice.
Son.
I juiced up Pacquiao.
He got you.
Do not underestimate. My man, yo, Pacquiao, he goes to the fucking water in the sea and heal himself, baby, on some fucking God-given power. The man is an X-Man,
oh,
bro.
Goodness.
Stupid. Listen. That robbery, man. Yesterday, robbery on Fox. That shit was definitely a fucking shit show. A dumb fire. I mean, this shit, it was crazy, bro. How the fuck Fox lost that round in anybody's eyes? That shit was an ass whipping.
My Iron Throne had thought he lost. Guy in the chat.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what we
I'm like, bro,
he's
just
like, I couldn't even make a case for that dude winning.
I can't see it. I can't see it. I'm sorry. Can't.
Nah, bro. We can't have that shit, bro. They robbed that man. Yo, this is the thing. Like, every time this robbery happens, we talk about it real quick and we move on. We move on, and then we can move on from these fucking robberies, bro. This, yo, how long? This Fox was there like 3 weeks. They say 3 weeks notice. Yo. He was there 3 weeks notice. So they take this man 3 weeks fucking notice. Who knows what the fuck he was doing? So he gotta start his training real quick. What?
Just ask a rhetorical question.
You ask a rhetorical question, and we're
saying,
sitting
there, bro, this shit
we're
just,
sitting there waiting
yo,
for the chief, like, you're going to answer it, or we're going to have to answer it. So, like, that's why there's a pause.
Nah, baby. The class is in session. You guys listen, bro.
Okay. Then teach, brother. Pass out the
word. Nah, what I'm saying, this shit is just too much, baby. We can't come here every other yo. Every month on top of outrageous robbery. That shit was outrageous, man. And these motherfuckers got the audacity to just plain and they start talking about the fucking referees again and the same bullshit when all this shit come from the top every single time. And this is what the fuck we get. Let's move on to the next fight. Fuck. He got robbed. Let him get robbed, right? Nah, we're not doing that. I'm not doing that. Fuck the WBA, bro. The fucking mafia.
Well,
and they're going to take all these belts away.
Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
At this point, like, we can't be surprised with this shit anymore. It's like a regular occurrence now. So
I know, but we can't be numb either, baby. That we just talk about it, not to get done.
No, you're right. We still got to call them out. You're right.
They have to be appointed. The boycott. Listen, baby. This greed is just out of control. This is why we don't get this fight. The other day, I was on TVB, the boxing boys, and they're talking about all these finances and all this shit. Baby, I don't want to be an economist. I didn't even study to be a mathematician. I don't want to be no lawyer. All I want to do is see who the fuck fighting out there who got the fucking right rankings, the best against the best. And the greed once again take you there. Again and again and again. I ain't no communist. Everybody work for what they get. I ain't trying to put no cap on nobody that they cannot make. But these people are overpaid. They're being overpaid. That's why we don't get these fucking fights. And on top of that, we got to deal with the fucking robberies. Baby, that's why boxing is dying. Dying. That's why these motherfuckers get 200,000 fucking pay-per-view buys. They can't hit the million no more. Because people just don't have faith in them. What the fuck you going to pay to see a robbery? Outrageous. Everybody out there, donate, support. I got to go. I'm out.
All right, Georgie. Got to go back to lockdown, man. That sucks. That sucks for him. Like it though. 706, you're live.
What's going on, ladies? What's going on? How are you guys?
What's up?
Good, what's going
man?
On? Why you guys on the phone?
Hey, I like your tattoos. I like your tattoos, man.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
You tagged me. You tagged that kid. He's from England. Some fans that got Floyd and Gervonta tattooed on his legs, I guess. They actually tagged him.
You got a Gervonta Davis tattoo?
You got a Gervonta Davis on one of his calves.
What?
You got a Floyd Mayweather tattoo on his other calf.
Dude, I don't know, man. That sounds a little suspect to me.
We've got a tramp stamp of Bob Arum. You heard about that?
Tramp stamp.
You don't have proof of that. I have proof of yours on Twitter.
He said you don't have proof of it.
Hey, what do you guys think about Reynoso and Canelo sabotaging the plant fight, then pretending like they're going to fight Bivol, and now coming back,
fight.
Now begging Heyman for the fucking
fight's happening
again.
In November.
I love it. I love it.
The fight's happening in November. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I know you always said that. What do you think happened? Like, you know, they said Heyman offered them 40%, so obviously they got that public offer. Do you think they were trying to get a contract from DAZN, like a contract similar to that, what Heyman offered him? And that probably then when they went back to DAZN, DAZN probably said no, right? That's why they went back. Is that what you think is happening? That's just my theory.
What I'm thinking is that is very possible, what you just said. I mean, it's like anything else. When there's back and forth negotiation, everyone's going to try and leverage for what they want, and they're going to leverage, obviously, for their side. So, I, you know what, the more I think about it, it's just two fighters negotiating. Now, I don't think Plant will take himself out of the equation. I think he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. I think he's just trying to get as much as he can. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, he wants to come out and make statements. You know, that whole Coppinger article, and I'm guilty of it myself. I took it out of context, and I think I blew it out of proportion.
I don't think
but
so, Steve.
At no point in time did Caleb Plant say that this fight was dead. At no point in time did Caleb Plant say that any of those things that he criticized about Canelo was a deal breaker. He was just criticizing what was going on. And in my opinion, and this is, again, I'm going to say my opinion, I think Coppinger framed that article in a way to make it look like Caleb Plant was trying to insinuate that Canelo was being too hard and that he couldn't make the fight because of Canelo. And I don't think that was
the
case.
First paragraph,
now, I think Caleb Plant could be frustrated here that it's taking so long to get this fight done. I think he could be frustrated that everyone's blaming him and calling him out and saying that he just – now, here's the thing. Caleb Plant's a man, right? He has the right to stand up for himself. Now, I understand there's an A side. That's great. I'm not going to dispute that, but – just because there's an A side, does that mean the B side that doesn't have a right to negotiate? Like I'm in the union, right? And technically, the workers are the B side compared to the company, right? So we still negotiate every 3 years with that company. Now, do we say, oh, the company's the A side? We're just gonna whatever they offer us, we're gonna take it? No, we always come back with requests and things that we want. So it went like just because. Plant is the B side. He could still ask for things. That's like I don't like the mentality that Canelo's the A side, so anything that he wants and any contract that's thrown in Caleb Plant's way, he just has to sign it and just shut up. I don't agree with that either. I don't agree with that either.
Hey Jason, do you think Plant beats Canelo?
No,
you think Plant beats Canelo?
I think he's going to give him a better fight than people expected Billy Joe and Callum Smith to give him a good fight. I never expected that to happen at all. I think Plant is the one going to give him the better fight of them all. This is going
to
be the most competitive fight out of those guys, for sure.
I hope he does anyway.
Plant's offense is way better than Callum Smith and Billy Joe. Billy Joe and Callum Smith are like fucking C-level fighters. Glorified by the fucking UK media. That's all these guys are. What has Billy Joe Saunders ever done? Fuck, dude, he's not even looked good in his best fight. He almost lost to fucking Eubank too. He didn't win that fight clearly. That was a fucking close fight. There was controversy over that fight too.
Yeah, he won that fight clearly.
That fight was really close, bro. Come on.
It was a close fight.
Eubank
was nobody.
And look
Let's
at him.
Let's do a poll.
Was that
fight
close?
He's fucking Martin Murray.
You're getting smashed here, Eric, on these polls.
Doesn't matter. We'll get smashed on fight night.
But listen, people bash
and that's
Plant
the only one
Turex.
That counts, son.
A,
this poll is just like kissing your sister. It doesn't count. That's the way it goes.
I kiss my sister with affection. I'm not faking it.
What are you guys talking about, dude?
He said disgusting.
Fucking creep. Fucking Ohio.
Oh, my God.
You Ohio
creep. I'm not saying I kiss her. I don't kiss her passionately. I kiss her affectionately like she's my sister.
Listen,
Jesus. What do you guys think about fucking Nodino Donaire fucking pussying out of this fight? Little bitch. He fucking ran away with his wife and now fucking Ringo has to fight Casimiro in like a short camp. It's kind of messed up.
No, I like this fight. I actually like this fight. I actually like this fight better. I actually like this fight better. So, yeah.
Why has Anito been asking for a Riga rematch? Doesn't Anito want a Riga rematch if he's such a fucking warrior? How come he doesn't ask for that?
Yeah, I wouldn't want any part of Riga if I was Anito.
Rigo's kind of washed up, so I'm expecting Casimiro to win. Rigo's kind of washed up now.
The fact that he's probably going to get a rematch with Inoue, that says all you need to know about it, you know, Donaire. He's fighting a tough
guy. Probably more money in there, so there's more money in there.
Yeah, it's definitely more money in that fight. I said that. I already said that. That's why I believe, you know, I thought it was pulled. I thought
for
someone
sure.
pulled him aside and said, hey, you know what? You need to take this fight. Yeah. It's a better fight.
Yeah, and he used that wife as an excuse.
Well,
you
got to give credit to PBC. That's another unification they tried to make. I mean, Spence, Manny should be unification, but WBA took the belt and gave it to Ugas, which is fine. I don't really care about the belt. It's a good fight anyway. But, you know, Fulton versus Figueroa.
Who wins that fight,
really
Jason?
Fucking...
Who wins the fight?
I want Spence to win.
Pacquiao or Spence?
I want Spence to win. I'm rooting for Spence. I'm rooting for America always. USA, baby.
That's right.
But,
you and Jason with America,
what do you guys...
Also,
Fulton versus Figueroa.
He just said he wouldn't
Fulton
be surprised if Pacquiao won, though. He wouldn't be surprised.
Jason's
if Pacquiao...
a moron, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
so what am
no,
I going to say
probably,
about it?
He's probably one of the smartest. He's probably one of our smartest callers every now and then.
But,
every
hey,
now
guys,
and then. That's probably saying
did you guys
much.
See the WBA, hey, guys, did you guys see the WBA judge get exposed by Corey Erdman, the boxing scene writer, this morning? He just exposed all her racist fucking tweets. She was the chick
I
that
saw that. Yeah, I saw that last night. Yeah.
Dude, she's calling Michelle
Obama. I saw that last night.
She called Michelle Obama monkey face, and this is the judge WBA is hiring, and she robbed Mykal Fox last night in a clear fight on PBC.
Listen,
so she needs to be fucking
I'll say it over and over
off.
Again, man. It's a free country. You can say and tweet out what you want, but there are always repercussions for what you say.
Yeah, you can say it. She nobody can stop her from saying it, but she doesn't have to be hired by WBA, you know?
So, no, I think that was a poor choice. I really do. You can't say stuff like that.
Did you guys watch the fight, Mykal Fox versus whatever the guy's name is? Well, did you think Fox
won? I thought that Fox won
and
pretty easy,
She's from Venezuela or he's from Nicaragua, so I don't know if there's some connection over there. I don't know what's going on over there. But how are you going to fucking – and she's saying racist things about black first lady, so I don't know if she's got some bias against black people. You have to question that. You know, you have to. I mean,
well,
you
got
to
think that, you know, something.
Yeah, something. I mean,
if she's saying,
Christ,
you know, monkey face
up.
And all that other stuff, yeah, I would say
she's
pretty prejudiced, you know.
Biden is not the president. Trump is the president. Trump is my president.
Well, that's true.
So, you know,
yeah, well, that's true because,
I'm sure Michael,
you know,
Montero
that false election they had, of course.
I'm sure Montero is going to be her number one fan now. So, you know, Jesus Christ.
I'll stop.
Oh, you can't carry it.
How?
What's the matter with you? Get
the
same
front of the show. You know what? I'm going to laugh.
I guess
Montero doesn't know what you look like. I guess Montero doesn't, because they both live in Atlanta. I would love Montero to just run into these guys and smash
it. Dude, Atlanta has like
Montero,
millions of people. Like,
Montero is going to get your IP address.
I would lay that clown out, dude. I would lay that clown out. I would lay it out.
Yeah. Montero
is
6'5".
One Maidana overhand right, and that fucking bodybuilder glass
is huge.
Now, trust me.
Yeah,
Montero
is huge.
One Maidana overhand right, and that glass chin is done, baby.
215, 220 pounds of solid muscle. He would destroy you. He's a Marine.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's a big guy.
I'm tall, but I'm skinny. I'm not a buff.
Montero's all
muscle,
man.
Well, you saw Jason's picture in that plane.
Beav's been telling me to lift weights.
You saw Jason's picture by that plane or whatever, that goofy picture you took by the plane, like
dude,
you owned the plane or something like that.
He's built like a pipe. He's built like a pipe cleaner.
Bill Beav, you need to write me down.
Yeah,
he's built like a spear, you know.
You built like a javelin. I gotta get some meat on those bones. How tall are you? How tall are you?
Like 6'2"-ish.
Not
bad.
How much do you weigh?
147.
How much do you weigh? 147?
Well, I'm like 190 right now, like 190.
You don't weigh that much, buddy.
Oh, you're 190? That's not a bad weight.
He don't weigh that much.
Yeah, I gained some weight.
He's like around 160, 155.
Been eating a lot of pandemic food. Nah, bro, come on.
A lot of pandemic food? There you go. I got Indian on a Saturday, bro, yesterday.
I like that Indian chicken, bro. That's the best chicken I've had.
I got.
What'd you get, baby?
I got some... I got chicken biryani, and I got some vegetable samosas.
Ooh. Oh, those are good.
Eric, have you ever
the
had
chicken
that?
Biryani is
Eric,
really
have
good.
Have you ever had that?
Yeah, it's really
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Most Americans
really
are scared of that kind of stuff. In England, dude, I read somewhere that said the curry is England's fucking national dish. I was like, what? I guess English people are, you know, they're more adventurous.
And I don't know how true it is. I heard there's more like Indian restaurants in the UK than
in
there
England?
Is in Bombay.
Yeah, yeah. Probably. I guess because everybody from India.
Yeah, they love it,
UK
man.
Does, you know? Yeah, it's a good place to live. All right, I'll let you guys
curry,
go.
Curry, thanks, curry's like curry's an aphrodisiac, man. When I go after I eat curry, man, I'm ready to go.
Dude, you can breathe better and all that shit.
What's the matter with you? It's a family show. What's wrong with you? Weren't
you
out with a bunch of dudes
earlier.
The other night and you was eating curry and then like
we were in Cambridge walking down like walking
okay.
the streets, you know,
okay.
a lot of nice looking girls did. We were ready
okay.
to go.
Did you guys watch Derek Lewis?
Okay.
ready to go.
Settle down.
You guys watch Derek Lewis?
What's
last
that?
Last night? Get knocked out. Derek Lewis? He got knocked out last night. USC.
Yeah, he didn't look good at all. Yeah, against Cyril Gane.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I tell you what, he didn't look good at all. That Cyril Gane looks like the real deal, though, man. I think he might
be. But that
French
guy versus Ngannou's going to be good. He's pretty big now. He's a good size, you know.
He reminds me. You know what? He reminds me of a lot of a John Jones type of style. He really does. That Cyril Gane.
Steve
he looks really
Jones?
Good. He's like. I would like to see that fight. Yeah.
Yeah. So Stipe will beat him. I think Stipe beats him. Unless
you think
John Jones
beats that guy in Cyril?
Yeah, unless Jones starts eye-poking him and shit, because, you know, Jones like to fight dirty.
I don't know, man. Jones is a different guy, man.
Dude,
he
flagrantly pokes guys
I don't even think
eyes,
he'll
man.
Fight Stipe.
Yeah.
He doesn't want that smoke.
It's so bad.
He doesn't want that smoke.
Yeah.
What other fights are coming
there
up? Top Rank or Matchroom? Does Matchroom or Top Rank have any good fights coming up, babe?
No, they got their card next week. We got a card next week. Nothing major.
But the Usyk, the Usyk card's coming up in September.
Yeah, the big fight next week is gonna Casimiro and what's his face Rigo.
And we got Benavidez coming up after that, right?
Yeah.
Benavidez, and then after that we got Spence Manny. So PBC is keeping that shit alive. I'm telling you, I've been saying that shit for a life, man. PBC keeps
that
American
PBC
boxing
card
alive.
Last night was trash, son.
I didn't.
Whatever.
Card
who, else
last
is
night
giving
was
you
trash.
Who else is giving
trash.
You boxing? Who else is giving you
the
boxing?
The Zone's giving you boxing.
Time? Nobody.
They gave
well,
me Ebony
well.
Bridges last night, son.
What?
How about that?
What the fuck is that? This is America. This is a fucking America. Don't tell me about Eurobums, okay? I'm talking about America. Tell me about America.
He doesn't
We're
know who
America.
Ebony Bridges is?
We don't talk about Eurobums.
He's
being a full brother.
Ah.
This is an American
boxing
show.
Is a global sport.
Yes.
This is an American
boxing
show.
Is, son. Boxing,
this is USA.
Boxing is
We're
a global sport.
Let's talk about some American
Boxing is a global sport.
Just because you got some titties and blonde
it's
hair doesn't
global.
Mean you're fucking hyping you up, okay? Come on.
Whoa!
I'm tuning in. I don't care.
Garrett Davies comparing her to Ali.
All right, Jason, we're
going to
get
on.
Running.
All right, guys.
What is this compared you. To Ali? All right, man. Compared to Ali. What's the matter with him? Okay, so let's go to the news here. Jermell Herring and Shakur Stevenson is set. How is this possible? Shakur Stevenson is getting 67% of the purse. How is that even possible?
I just can't figure it out.
I can't either. He's like the interim champion, and what? That's insane to me.
Jermell Herring is getting no love here. No love at all.
You're not lying, man. I you know, listen, man, I like Shakur Stevenson. I like them both. But I hope Jermell Herring wins this fight, man. I'll tell you what, man. He's getting really disrespected there, man.
I think he will win the fight, to be honest with you. I think his size, his ability to fight on the inside, I think he's a lot grittier.
He's a dog.
I think he's tough. You know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, like I said, I think the Stevenson wins the fight, but I wouldn't mind seeing Herring win.
Yeah,
he'll
probably be favored Stevenson, but I think Herring
yeah.
I'm picking Herring to win. I think, you know, his boxing ability is underrated and his versatility as well. He's a great body puncher. He's a very solid inside fighter. And he's got a phenomenal jab too. I think he's an all around solid fighter. I think he hits hard, a lot harder than people think. I think he can get you out of there. I think his size, his power and his strength and his versatility. I think he'll take this fight to the inside and try to grind Stevenson out. And I think he may outwork him.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I hope you're right on this. I hope you're right on the pack. I really do.
This is the one fight where I think Stevenson's going to be forced to fight, because if he doesn't, he's just going to get steamrolled.
Right. As we mentioned at the top, Joshua and Usyk tickets sell out in 24 hours. This is at Tottenham Stadium. This is where the Hotspurs play, the soccer team over there. Big stadium, man. Sold out in 24 hours, man. Joshua is definitely the money man there, man. No question about it. 2 hours or 24 hours. It's crazy to sell out that many seats. Is there anybody in America that can do that?
No.
No. Not even close, right?
Not even close. Nope.
That's what they call them. They're the Hotspurs, man. The Tottenham Hotspurs.
Well, if Mayweather and Pacquiao fought again, I think they had a rematch. I think they may be able to do it, but I don't know. No, I don't think they would be able to do it. No, not that fast.
No way.
Not that fast. No one would be able to do that fast.
Eddie Hearn has stated that Canelo will move off the Mexican Independence Day date and look to return in November. It's being said he still wants to face Caleb Plant. Dimitri Bivol is also being tossed around as a possible opponent. I think that Plant fight comes off. I still think that Plant fight comes off. I think they want that undisputed title.
Yeah, they'll get that fight.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's never easy with Canelo. We thought that the Golovkin rematch was going to be dead, but obviously we got it, right? So I think we'll get this one, too.
I hope that Golovkin trilogy is dead, put it that way. I don't want to see that fight. Yeah. So that'll
see that.
What's that?
Probably won't see that one again.
Yeah, I'm hoping we don't.
I don't think we need to.
No. We saw it twice. You don't need to see it anymore. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.